Radio Prague News. Rival Czech parties have resumed talks on forming a new government. President Klaus has called a meeting of all party leaders at Prague Castle on Friday. And Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek has come under criticism for his party's defeat in the Senate and local elections. Party leaders have resumed talks on forming a new government ahead of a scheduled meeting with President Václav Klaus on Friday. The Civic Democratic Party, which won the recent Senate and local elections, is likely to receive a formal mandate from President Klaus in the next few days, and its leader Mirek Topolánek has taken the initiative in the negotiations. In a meeting with his main rival, Social Democrat Jiří Paroubek, Mr. Topolánek firmly ruled out a grand coalition and is now seeking to secure support for a caretaker government which would lead the country to early elections in 2007. Talks with the Green Party and the Christian Democrats have established growing support for a rainbow cabinet. Meanwhile, a growing number of parties have expressed readiness to amend the constitution in such a way as to facilitate early elections. The proposed bill stipulates that parliament could be dissolved with the consent of a 3/5 majority in the lower house. The Civic Democrats, Christian Democrats, the Greens and the Communists have all expressed willingness to support it. President Klaus issued a statement on Tuesday saying that he would meet with the leaders of all five parliamentary parties on Friday to ascertain how matters stood. The president said he was pleased that political leaders had launched a new round of intensive negotiations at the start of this week and said that he intended to do some negotiating of his own. He has invited the head of the Civic Democrats, Mirek Topolánek, and the Christian Democrats, Jan Kasal, to talks at Prague Castle on Wednesday. The president stressed the need for a government which would have no trouble winning the confidence of the lower house. Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek has come under growing criticism for his party's defeat in the Senate and local elections. Although Mr. Paroubek has been doing his best to present the outcome of the elections as a moderate success, his critics and even some close associates are arguing the need to acknowledge defeat and accept the need for early elections. Party deputy chairman Zdeněk Škromach pointed out that the last time the Social Democrats had won an election was in 2002. He said it was clear that the party needed to outline a new strategy and find new faces. Although nobody has openly challenged Mr. Paroubek's position as leader, regional party heads have criticized his style. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. While day temperatures are now hovering at around 10 degrees Celsius, meteorologists predict a cold front in the second half of the week, with day temperatures expected to drop to between 0 and 4 degrees Celsius. And we can also expect the first snow in lower altitudes. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, and my name is Ian Willoughby. Today, former Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek under fire from within his own party. The great Japanese author Haruki Murakami receives the prestigious Franz Kafka Award here in Prague. An important war memorial has been rented out as a party venue. Veterans are none too pleased. And later, the Czech writer Ludvík Vaculík turns his attention to Moravian folk songs in his new book. Stay tuned. The leader of the Social Democrats, former Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek, has come under fire from within his own party after an unimpressive showing in recent Senate and local elections. There have also been rumblings of disapproval from former party boss Miloš Zeman. In the past, his disfavour has signalled the writing on the wall for previous Social Democrat leaders. Rob Cameron has the story.
A year ago, Jiří Paroubek was seen by the Social Democrats as a saviour, the man who pulled the party out of the doldrums after months of crisis. Mr. Parobek, who served as Prime Minister until June of this year, was credited with stabilising the then-governing Social Democrats, weakened by highly publicised scandals and the successive resignations of previous leaders Stanislav Gross and Vladimir Spidla. His aggressive, uncompromising style and rousing speeches gave the party a new energy, and the Social Democrats went into the June elections with a feeling of unity and high hopes. They didn't win, but scored their best ever election result. Now things are rather different. The party is once again languishing in the opinion polls. The recent Senate and local elections were not a disaster, but nothing to celebrate either. Jiří Paroubek's handling of those elections has now been criticised by deputy leader Zdeněk Škromach. Jiří Paroubek pulled the party out of the basement, he said in a newspaper interview. But we need to say where we're going next. He called for the party to find new people to allow the Social Democrats to beat the Civic Democrats. And there was also criticism from former leader Miloš Zeman, now in retirement in his cottage in the country. In interviews with several national newspapers on Tuesday, he said there was no room in politics for hysteria and called for early elections to resolve the ongoing stalemate, something Mr. Parobek bitterly opposes, because if the opinion polls are to be believed, they would be a disaster both for the Social Democrats and, by extension, for him personally. Jiří Paroubek is still fully in control of his party, and a few isolated rebellions do not signify a full-scale revolt. But he will need to reassert his authority fast if he is to avoid following in the footsteps of Vladimir Spidla and Stanislav Gross.
That report was by Rob Cameron. Haruki Murakami, perhaps the greatest living Japanese author, is currently here in the Czech capital. The main purpose of his visit is to collect the annual Franz Kafka Award, which is perhaps appropriate given that Murakami's own work bears the influence of Kafka, one of the greatest Prague-born writers of all time. Emily Udell reports.
On Monday, the Franz Kafka Society recognized Haruki Murakami for his novel Kafka on the Shore, which was first published in Japanese in 2002. Kafka Tamura is the 15-year-old protagonist of the book, which contains numerous allusions to the Prague-born Kafka, who Murakami has called one of his favorite authors.
Kafka's work is so great. It has some kind of universal value. So I understand that his books belong to the Central European culture directly. But at the same time, so we share his works, you know. The first time I read his book, The Castle, when I was 15 years old, I didn't think that way. This book is belong to the Central European culture. I just felt, this is my book. This book is for me.
Murakami's visit to accept the award was his first time coming to the Czech Republic. At the award ceremony in Brožek Hall in the Old Town Square, photographers and fans hoping for autographs swarmed the bewildered-looking writer, who gave a short speech expressing his gratitude and his love for Kafka. Each year, the Franz Kafka Society presents the annual award to a living writer whose work carries on the legacy of Kafka himself through its transcendence, timelessness, and tolerance. The Society's director, Dr. Marketa Milashkova, says this year wasn't the first time Murakami was considered.
I must say his name was running the years before, and he was a warm candidate. His work will be good in the future. He is a well-known author. His work is very, very good. He uses special language, and he is interested in humanism. And the main thing is too that his works are translated to Czech language.
Franz Kafka Prize winners must have work published in Czech. Just a week ago, a Czech edition of Kafka on the Shore hit the shelves of local bookstores. Milashkova said that although Murakami's work may not be as well known here as in some other countries, Murakami is becoming more popular among young Czechs. She predicts the prize will further this trend.
I think not so much like in the USA or in other countries. I must say that Murakami's works know here more young people. And therefore, I'm happy that other people will know about Murakami. And it's starting the spreading his works to East Europe, Middle and East Europe more.
This is the sixth annual award presented by the Franz Kafka Society. Previous laureates include Philip Roth, Ivan Klima, and Harold Pinter. The prize's international jury is composed of literature and history experts.
This prize is only one international prize in Czech Republic, I would like to say, and the prize is running sixth year, and she is more and more popular in abroad, and it's the first prize which Murakami received in Europe. And I think that it is the first Japan author who received the prize in Czech Republic.
The Franz Kafka Society has translated all of Kafka's work from German to Czech, organized various festivals and conferences relating to the writer, and raised money for the famous statue commemorating him in Prague 1. Murakami received a miniature version of the statue and a monetary prize worth $10,000 for his achievement.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Radio Prague. Now, the National Memorial on Vítkov Hill in Prague is a structure hard to miss. It's a severe, rectangular building with no windows, accompanied by a large statue of 15th-century Czech military commander Jan Žižka, astride his horse as if keeping guard over the city. Built in the 1930s, the memorial was meant to house the remains of Czech soldiers who fought in foreign legions on the battlefields of the First World War. A recent commercial event in the now scarcely used building has prompted Czech war veteran associations to raise their voices in protest. Pavla Horáková has more.
Standing on a leafy hill high above the hustle and bustle of the city, the monumental granite structure looks bleak and deserted. On a normal day, a few dog owners are the only people to be seen around here. Except for a few wreath-laying ceremonies every year, the National Memorial escapes the attention of both the public and officials. But a recent event here caused a stir in the media and outraged two war veteran organizations, the Czech Air Force Association and the Union of Czechoslovak Legionaries. A few weeks ago, the wife of the governor of Central Bohemia rented the memorial for a company party, complete with a disco and scantily clad dancers. It was also attended by a few high-ranking civic democrat officials, including Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, who has in the meantime expressed regret over his participation. The two associations are considering legal action and have also called on President Václav Klaus and Prague Mayor Pavel Bém to use their powers to prevent what they call further abuse of the monument. Designed in the late 1920s by architect Jan Zázvorka, who himself fought in the Russian Legion, the memorial's original purpose was to become a sort of mausoleum of Czech legionaries. When the communist authorities took over the building after the Second World War, they turned first into the grave of the unknown soldier and then a burial place of state and party leaders. After the fall of communism, the need arose to redefine the purpose of the massive construction. In the year 2000, the management of the memorial was transferred to the National Museum, which pledged to rehabilitate the place as a symbol of Czech statehood by 2009. The National Museum's director, Michal Lukáš, has also expressed regret over the recent incident and has halted all commercial events there. It now remains to be seen whether the current controversy will help bring new life to the monument, which has been left unused for much too long.
Pavla Horáková reporting. Moving on, many towns in the Czech Republic have a bazaar, or a market specializing in cheap clothing and often counterfeited Western brands. What's less common are flea markets, places where ordinary people can try to turn their old junk into gold. Ilya Maritz recently visited the country's biggest flea market and filed this report.
It's a sunny Saturday afternoon, and I'm standing in the middle of the flea market in Vysočany, Prague. To my right, a man is selling new socks. Behind me, it's used baby carriages. And straight ahead, they're selling old crockery. All this in a 50,000 square meter field in an old industrial park at the edge of Prague.
Ja jsem Václav, to je můj koníček, hobby.
I'm Václav, and this is my hobby. I don't just sell, I also buy. I collect and exchange. For example, I've collected over 10,000 pins and buttons, And here's an old photo I'm selling, a portrait of football players from the Sparta Prague team from the year 1962, with their signatures. Half of them are dead now. Kramerios, Veseli, Kadja, Urban, Mašek. They used to be great Czech footballers.
Bývalí vynikající fotbalisti český, no.
My name is Ernie Vanek. I made these two knives, yes. This is a stainless steel called 440C, which is used for skinning the bears and so on. It goes about 1,500 crowns. In Canada, I used to sell it for about $150 to $300, $500, yeah, but it's a different market here. So.
What do you need to do to like work the flea market as best as possible?
What I could suggest to foreigners as well, not speak English. You know, to find some Czech friend who will translate it to you, and you know, because once you open your mouth and say anything in English, they get advantage of it.
Jenny from San Francisco has found a novel way of bargaining down sellers.
Well, I found this doll, and she's falling apart, but actually she's my bargaining tool now. I just pretend like the doll is talking when I ask for how much things cost. Well, my boyfriend, he speaks Czech, so I'm like, how much, tell me how to say this, and then he'll tell me really fast, and then I pretend in Czech what the doll is saying, and they're charmed, and they appreciate it.
Piles of unsorted clothes, bottles of liquor, new tires, old car engines, knockoff perfume, a bust of Adolf Hitler, snowboards, ski boots, face cream, keychains, baby clothes, cassettes for just 5 crowns, marzipan shaped like an ear of corn. It's all here for the finding. You just have to look.
My name is Marta Marksová, and I'm on maternity leave. I really love antiquities. Once I bought really cheap china, but it should be very expensive because the guy didn't know what he is selling exactly. If I would go downtown, I would sell it for 20,000 or more, and I bought it for 2.5.
The bargaining begins every Saturday and Sunday at 6 a.m. at the Vysočany Flea Market. It's located near the Kolbenova metro station in Prague. Entrance is 10 crowns.
That's a bargain. Now, in the last part of our program, Linda Maštalić has a report on a new book by the great Czech author Ludvík Vaculík.
Jak jsem já šel do Budy, Buda byla prázdná, měli mě tam dvě čekat. Nečekala žádná, jak jsem já šel do Budy.
Ludvík Vaculík, one of the Czech Republic's most popular authors, has a new book out, Polepšené pěsničky, or Improved Folk Songs. It's an absolutely unique volume, complete with a CD featuring Ludvík Vaculík singing his favorite Moravian songs. Those who know him are aware that music and folk songs are vitally important to Ludvík Vaculík, and now readers have a chance to gain an insight into how song has helped shape the identity of an author known for his very outspoken nature.
Jablečka už dozrávají, kdo jich bude trhati.
The volume Polepšené pěsničky has been long in the making. Jaroslava Jiskrová, who published the book and has worked with Ludvík Vaculík as an editor since the 1990s, explains how the idea for this particular work came about back in 2002.
Pan Vaculík potom napsal do literárních novin shodou okolností velice hezký.
By chance, Ludvík Vaculík wrote a very nice piece that appeared in literární noviny. He calls it a journalistic essay about how he and his wife went to the Brumov region of southern Moravia and looked for the places and villages that are sung about in folk songs. They met with people who live there and sought to uncover the reality of that corner of the country. This essay was absolutely beautiful, and I realized that Vaculík has it in him to write a book about singing and about folk songs. In effect, I gave him this task, and I told him to exhaust the theme of songs in his own life.
Vyčerpejte téma píseň ve svém životě.
Polepšené pěsničky is filled with explanations of how particular songs have traveled with Ludvík Vaculík throughout his life. The volume brings Moravian folk songs to life and includes many photographs with Vaculík, his family, and friends all singing and clearly enjoying one another's company. So, how did Ludvík Vaculík react to being asked to write it all down? Jaroslava Jiskrová again.
Tak 2003 to krystalizovalo nějak.
The idea finally crystallized in 2003, and Ludvík Vaculík sat down and wrote for a year. He was very taken with the project. I have to say, he's not used to accepting other people's inspirations and ideas when it comes to his writing, but this was so close to his heart that he just adopted the idea as his own. His work was very focused, and I remember that the writing gave him great pleasure. However, I still had this essay in my mind, and I measured everything against this work. When Vaculík gave me the first version, it wasn't quite what I had in mind, so I returned it to him and asked that he rewrite it. At first, he was a bit upset about this, and he told everyone I'd rejected the text. But then he actually sat down and worked on it again, and the result is much better.
Perfection seemed elusive since Vaculík took the liberty of improving various folk songs, and at one point the work saw no end. Jaroslava Jiskrová told me about how she finally managed to get the text away from Vaculík and to the presses.
Pan Vaculík, jak se to pořád měnilo a přibývaly tam písničky, třeba text.
Then, as the text kept evolving and there were additions to the songs, Vaculík had a need to fill every small space. He also had the feeling that he'd left many things unexplained. And that's actually true. In the end, we had to make a drastic move this past summer. Madla Vaculíková, Vaculík's wife, told me to take the text away from him because he was capable of ruining the entire thing by making so many changes. So we declared the revisions complete, and I told Vaculík that he should save all of his thoughts for another book, for a second volume. Of course, we said it jokingly, but anything is possible.
Což my jsme to říkali v legraci, ale možné je všechno.
Bez vínečka, tož co by jsme měli, jenom toto, když tě spolu máme život celý.
Teďka říkám, když ho slyším, jak to čte a jak to zpívá.
When I hear Vaculík read from the text now and sing everything he wrote down, I'm very happy because this book has a dimension that I was aware of, but I didn't realize exactly how effective it would be. I have the feeling that Ludvík Vaculík really wrote a fun book in the best sense of the word. He can bring joy to many people and entertain them with his book, and I think that he loves to be able to do just that.
A myslím, že to dělá rád a že to dělá s obrovskou chutí.
Ludvík Vaculík already has a following of Moravian folk song enthusiasts, a group that calls itself Vlastenci, or Patriots. They meet regularly, bound by love of song and wine, or Slivovice, and lately the Vlastenci have also been helping to introduce Vaculík's new book to the public. And why is an entire 245-page volume devoted to songs from a small corner of southeast Moravia? Because this is a very personal book, and Ludvík Vaculík has never lost sight of where he came from. A longtime resident of Prague, his heart belongs to Brumov. It is where he wants his final resting place to be. The burial plot is already bought. And for so long as he's still alive, Ludvík Vaculík will continue to probe the details of the region where he grew up. Jaroslava Jiskrová sums up Ludvík Vaculík's identity.
Já myslím, že on je Valach teda a Moravák tělem i duší.
I think that he's a Valachian, a Moravian in body and soul. He writes about this in every one of his books. It is, of course, a theme present in this book, Polepšené pěsničky, but, for example, it's also visible in all the documentary films that Přetislav Rychlík taped with Ludvík Vaculík, the series called The Valachian Dreamer. He's always returning to his roots, to Brumov, and he keeps looking for fragments of that world, of his own identity. It's something that Madla Vaculíková and I talk about often, the fact that Ludvík Vaculík is actually documenting a particular world that is nearly forgotten today, and he's making it complete again. It's less and less a mosaic of some sort, and more a full picture of this corner of Moravia that is gaining value. And I'm convinced that it will be even more valuable as time passes.
If an identity remains preserved for the Valachians or the people of Southeast Moravia, Ludvík Vaculík will have no small role to play in that fact.
Radosti, radosti, kdy vás bude dosti, až budu na...
And that brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. Thank you very much for listening to us. Goodbye and take care.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures, 7h27, 5930, 7345, Europe. 8h30, 8h57, 9860, 11600, Europe. Dix-sept heures trente, 17h57, 5930, 15710, Europe, Afrique centrale. 19h30, 19h57, 5930, 9430, Europe, Afrique. 23h, 23h27, 5930, 7345, Amérique du Nord. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.